This is Tim Willett. Community Radio in your city.
Cambridge 105. This Sunday sees the second of two Footlights performances at the Cambridge Arts Theatre. Founded in 1880, the University Drama Society boasts an impressive alumni, including Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie, Trevor Nunn and Peter Schaefer. Julian Clover sat down with the performers, Ruby Keane, Enrico Holworth and Dylan Mapletoft, who's also the Footlight's current president.
I knew I liked comedy and stuff, but I didn't have the guts to audition for about 2 years because I was scared. I didn't have anyone to write with, but then just kept auditioning and then it just happened.
And the writing is what you're more interested in than performing, or a bit of both, perhaps?
A bit of both. You sort of write stuff every 2 weeks and then perform it in the fortnightly smokers, which is sort of culmination of what people have written in those 2 weeks, so it's sort of they come together.
Did you sign up to anything else in the meantime in those first 2 years?
I was in the Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic Society for 2 years, which prepared me for Footlights, but that was about it really. I just sort of
I've another potential interview coming on here. I should ask you what you're actually studying.
Anglo-Saxon, Norse and Celtic.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. Hey, Mick, what about you?
I study English. I sort of did theatre more widely at first, and then
so other theatre groups around the university.
Yeah, I wasn't really sort of associated with any particular group. That's not really how it works here, but I would, you know, you'd go along and audition for shows and that sort of thing. And then towards the end of first year I did a sketch show and realized I was better at that because I'm not a very good actor. And then sort of just really enjoyed it and kept doing sketches and more comedy. And now, here I am.
I definitely did come wanting to do it, but I didn't think it was actually a possibility because I think I was so overawed by the whole legacy and what people say about the thing. I used to whine about wanting to do it to friends and my girlfriend and stuff, and eventually was told if I wanted to do it, to try and do it, and went through a good year of being really bad and then pushing on through and trying to slowly get better, basically. So it's like, I don't know, I think people sometimes think that you fall into these things and are immediately it immediately happens, and I haven't really met anyone where that's been the case. You know, a lot of it just requires a lot of work and stuff and commitment behind the scenes, really.
The whole history thing is interesting because if you believe what you read in most places, then the Footlights started in the mid-1960s with John Cleese and his generation. But I gather with a smallest amount of research that it's actually the 1880s that it goes back to.
Yeah, it does, it started in the 1880s, and then, it really kicked off with kind of Peter Cook and, like, that whole Beyond the Fringe generation, but then, it's difficult. The legacy thing is something that comes up a lot, and I think, obviously, we're all, like, honoured to be a part of the society and, like, really in awe of what's happened, but I think there is a point where you say, kind of, we are students and we'd like to be considered as students trying to do some new stuff or something a bit different rather than just echoing whoever it may be, even though, you know, I'm sure all of us would be very happy to make half the contribution that Stephen Fry, whoever it may be, made.
You must all have your comedy heroes of those people, not necessarily in the Footlights, but also, I guess, people from everyday comedy and in terms of what seems to be a burgeoning stand-up scene and the US comedy that seems to multiply with every number you go through on the programme guide on the TV channels.
Yeah, 100%. Bo Burnham is one of my favourite American comics, but I really like Richard Gadd, who won the Comedy Award last year. Of Footlights, I really like Richard Ayoade.
My comedy hero is Graham Linehan, who wrote The IT Crowd and Father Ted, because I just think he's the best and he's so weird and magical. That's what I like. There's like weird, surreal things, like not many people have seen it, but the programme Green Wing.
I'm going to have to go for similarly recent. I'd say, Richard Ayoade as well is fantastic. But then Noel Fielding and Julian Barrett, who did Mighty Boosh, are incredible. I think, I don't know, I guess that's just the nature of comedy, is that you want fresh in.
Go on.
I just overlooked Vic and Bob, like, they're my ultimate heroes. I forgot, well, how did I, I just forgot to mention those. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, like what Dylan was saying, you know, obviously you have immense respect for all the past generations of comedians who have obviously influenced everything that's, you know, happened since, but like you do just want something fresh and surprising, because that's what makes people laugh, isn't it?
I guess at the same time, you're wanting to do your own thing, and you're wanting it to be contemporary comedy rather than going back to a time that may or may not have been.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why our sort of comedy heroes, as you put it, do tend to be, people who've done something a bit fresh or a bit new, like we all hope to do.
The production, which is going to be performing, I think, two Sundays at the Arts Theatre, because we're sitting here in the ADC right now. But that's your regular home, I think, for late night comedy sessions and also for some of the longer runs as well. How does it then transfer into the Arts Theatre?
Well, the biggest difference is that I've never performed or even been in the Arts Theatre, but from what I can gather, the biggest difference is that it's going to be a bigger room with more people in it. Going to have a bigger audience, and that'll be incredible. It's like twice as big.
600 odds. Yeah. I think the Arts Theatre is hopefully an exciting time for us to maybe begin to connect with a wider Cambridge community and a wider Cambridge audience. Definitely for like our new writing shows that we do every 2 weeks, like The Smokers, you get almost entirely students. For Spring Review, which was the biggest show we've had so far, there's more of a 50-50 split. But I think Arts Theatre is kind of us taking a lot of our stuff out and bringing it to this wider like public that doesn't necessarily interact as much with like the student sphere. So like it's a really exciting opportunity for us to kind of test our stuff in that environment to try and play to a bigger crowd and really like get a bigger crowd to enjoy the show and all that kind of thing.
And is there also an age range issue if you're appealing predominantly to students when you're at the ADC? The Arts Theatre, I guess, by its very nature, opens it up to a wider audience with perhaps just ever so slightly different tastes in humour.
Yeah, I think well, we've been like selecting material based on that, partly with an idea of selecting what we hope will go well and will be more like universally appreciated than nothing too referential or anything like that. But yeah, that is definitely a big factor it's something already when we were doing Spring Review, we were thinking about that a little bit, because there are things we do on our Smokers, which are our fortnightly shows, which we'd say this might work for students, but does not need to be aired again, you know, kind of thing. That kind of thing. So there's more of that going into the Arts Theatre show as well.
Yeah. So I guess that's what they call topical comedy, isn't it? When it's just funny for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, or new naked stuff. Yeah. You know, one of our members likes to get his clothes off. And
nice. It also, going to a larger, wider theatre, presumably acts as a precursor for when you're going touring. My first experience of the Footlights was at the Theatre Royal in Bury St Edmunds, circa 1985, 86, something like that. It seems quite strange given how close Bury St Edmunds is to Cambridge. But you do get the opportunity, I think, to go on tour of the shows as well.
Yeah, there's an international tour show every year, which is about five or six people, the cast, and then it goes to sort of London. Now, this year it's going to Birmingham, Bristol and places, and then the Fringe for a month, and then America, but that's sort of later on. We haven't written that yet, but so this is
that's the end of next term. But yeah, that's like a huge opportunity to travel around and go to all these places. With every show that we do, we're all hoping to like improve and build on the experience. So like definitely we will take a lot out from doing the Arts Theatre show. Some of us also did a show like the show at the Oxford Playhouse last year, and with these you do get a feel for it. And like, we're always looking to kind of improve and build on that and build on our relationships with the audience and stuff, and that will definitely be something that's taken on to the tour show as well, I think.
More than any other activity that you could get up to outside of your studies, this has one of the greatest impacts, I would have thought, on your time in terms of studying. Does it ever make you reappraise the study aspect of everything?
Especially with Spring Review having just happened, almost feels like our studies are the extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've got regular shows, and then every so often one of us will decide to put on our own show, or we'll have a bigger show like the Spring Review. And they just, you want to make it as good as possible. And we'll want to make this show that's on the Arts Theatre, want to make that as good as possible. So you put time, energy into it that you potentially take away from your work load.
And what awaits for the next few months after the Arts Theatre production has completed?
So we've got another couple of smokers next term, and we've got another lady smoker, which is part of what we're doing to try and do what we can to redress the kind of inequality and like the gender inequality in smokers. We've also got a BAME smoker, which is another night for ethnic minorities who don't, who might find it more difficult to get space for their stuff.
Is it important to push these groups? Is half the problem that they're not represented enough, particularly amongst the BAME, in the university in the first place?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. I mean, I think the legacy of the society means that it carries a level of weight, and we are trying to use that in a positive way, not only in terms of the material we produce, but in terms of, like, the access side of things and what we're kind of getting people involved and really trying to create this space where people feel comfortable doing stuff, because that's like so much, that's more than half the battle, I'd say. Definitely with the BAME section of comedy performers, I mean, it's such a symptom of, is a wider structural symptom of the university, I think, which there's not a lot we personally can do about. But, you know, I think small gestures and shows like this can, we got such an amazing response from doing the First Lady Smoker at the ADC last term that we wanted to definitely continue the momentum with that. But yeah, so we've got those shows. Personally, I'm doing two double act sketch shows next term. We've got the tour show, which Ruby's involved in. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on, really.
And the show that Sir Julian's referring to there by the footlights is at the Cambridge Arts Theatre on Sunday evening. Check out the website for details of tickets.